You're listening to The Weekly Show on Discourse.
All right, so we've started.
Yay.
So the last couple of weeks have been pretty hectic on the show. We've had pretty deep interviews and stuff, and I just thought this week maybe we could take it a bit easier and just, you know, just basically just chat like old times, talk about a few news stories and not have any guests on.
Are you recording
that? I wanted to talk about that, though, because, I mean, we did all those great interviews, and, I mean, honestly, getting George Lucas was a hell of a impressive feat. But I've been checking in my podcast app, and I'm not seeing them. Are you sure you've uploaded them properly?
Yeah, absolutely, I uploaded them. Yeah, no problem. Yep, every week I upload them. 5:45 on Thursday morning. Yep.
Yeah. Weird. Okay. Oh well.
I didn't double check though. Let me just have a look.
That stuff John Key said, I can't believe he said that while we were recording.
Oh well, this is funny. I may have scheduled them to go live too late or something. Because you're quite right. I hadn't looked, but they're not on the site.
Oh well.
I'll see what's going on with that. Hopefully the files are still there though.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you backed them up. You just did that big backup the other day. I'm sure you've got them all.
I mean, I did a backup starting last Thursday, but anything from before then potentially isn't backed up.
Oh, it'll be fine. Anyway, so talking, you just chat. Just chat about stuff.
Yeah, we can just chat. So I would like to talk about the DNC, New Zealand's Domain Name Commissioner.
The Commissioner of Domain Names.
Yep, they've announced...
The commish.
Debbie.
I was going to say, I didn't know what the commissioner's name was. Commissioner Debbie. It's not the same as Gordon.
I think it's still Debbie.
We should vote for it. Do we get to vote for this position? How do we influence change in the commissioner?
You join Internet New Zealand.
Yep.
And then you can probably vote.
Can we get someone named Gordon to do it?
I suppose it would be possible, but I don't know why we would get rid of a domain name commissioner who has been absolutely exemplary and is certainly partly responsible for the New Zealand domain name. Clean and tidy with no controversy.
Okay, well, I mean, that's fine. Sorry, I just got a cat visit.
Oh, I thought that was a child in the far distant background.
No. Cattle baby's a good game, though. Yeah. When you've got a baby and a cat, it can be sometimes hard to tell which one's making the noise.
Yeah. In my house, it's a very easy game.
Yeah, you don't have a cat.
No, so you say cat or baby.
And the answer's usually baby.
Usually baby.
And if it's cat, you're like, what the fuck is the neighbor's cat doing in here?
Except, I don't know, were your kids, did they fart a lot?
Probably.
Like a lot.
I don't know. There's this weird thing that happens, and you might notice it in 6 months or so, but I think it's some sort of like natural instinct, but you just block out a lot of the stuff about childhood, about the infancy of babies.
I hope that doesn't happen because I'm really loving it.
Oh no, it's great. Maybe it's just because I've had a few of them now and they all kind of blend together and then I don't care anymore. I don't know. Who can keep up? Anyway, Domain Name Commissioner. Sorry.
The DNC have announced. So we already knew that we were going to get 2LDs or domain names registered at the second level of .nz. So instead of being Discourse Co.nz, we're going to move to Discourse.nz at some point.
For only another however many dollars.
So it'll be the same price again.
Discourse.co.nz/VPN.
Thank you for surprisingly expensive. What? I don't even remember how it goes. So they've announced that change is happening on the 30th of September.
Oh, that's quite soon.
Yeah, just the week after the election.
Great. So we can register all the hilarious election-related.nz names.
But a week late.
Yeah, well, we'd like, you know, like... NoCoalitionYet.nz, and of course it won't really matter because it'll just be national governing on their own.
They almost certainly won't be governing on their own. I think that's extremely unlikely.
Okay, I'm just being pessimistic.
But I think that they will pretty much have a similar arrangement to what they've got now.
It'll just be national governing with their lackeys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. There'll be United Future and...
their toadies.
In Oahu and ACT in Epsom, which tragically is my electorate, and it sucks.
Epsom stretches down all the way to where you are.
Yep, all the way to Parnell.
Huh. I'm in Te Aratu apparently,
which means now. you were or and still are being represented by National Party kind of bully thug Tō Henare.
No, was he the electorate MP for National? I don't think
he is.
No. I think he's a list MP. The electorate MP in Te Aratu is Phil Twyford, I think.
Yeah. I did.
But I'm actually being represented currently until the next election when the borders change. I'm being represented by Paula Bennett.
Oh.
As the winner of the Waitakere electorate in the last election, which I believe was the closest of them all, and it was something ridiculous, like 60 votes between the two of them.
Right. See, people who think their vote doesn't count.
Well, 60 of them would have.
Votes always count. Every vote counts, except in Ipsum.
I got the impression it might not be so ridiculous this time. Although, I haven't been paying attention to National do a deal again?
Yes.
Oh. Was there a cup of tea involved?
No.
Bradley Ambrose wasn't anywhere nearby?
No.
Oh, disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think that they actually need to do the cup of tea sit down anymore. I think Ipsum is just so well under control. Because Ipsum, let's face it, if electorates had decile ratings, it'd be a decile 15 or 19. And I know that they only go up to 10, but Ipsum would
go... that's fine.
Ipsum would go further somehow. And they know what side their bread is buttered on. They like the National Party, and they know that tactically the smartest thing to do if you're a National supporter in this electorate is vote for ACT.
Well, they really do, because the National Party got... 23,000 party votes in the last general election out of 36,000 cast.
Yep.
Labour was second with 5,700.
Yep. I voted, believe it or not, for fucking Goldsmith. I voted for a National MP in the last election.
You're pretty close. He was only out by 2,000.
Listen.
That was even with no campaigning. So, you know, maybe it'll turn around this time, because Banks at least was a slightly known thing that the ACT candidate for Ipsum this year is
Jamie White,
the crazy person.
Yeah, no, easy now. There are a few people we need to be careful of. Colin Craig.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He's the main one that we have to be careful of.
Holy shit! Sorry, I was wrong about how close the Waitakere electorate was last year. Paula Bennett won. With 13,465 votes.
Right.
Carmel Cipollone was second with 13,456 votes. There were 9 votes.
See? Your vote counts. 9. Your vote counts.
9 votes.
Another person that it turns out you have to be a little bit careful of when you talk about them is Dr. Nick Smith.
Why do we have to be careful?
Who is threatening legal action against people for apparently telling factually true things about him that made him look bad because
of the fishing game.
Yep. And John Key has now put him in his place.
Now, I didn't totally follow that. Was the quotes that were published, were they like recorded or are they someone's recollection of
that? Was someone's words. Recollection, but it was 4 different people's recollection.
I see, right. Cool. Because like, the bits I saw, it was like, oh my god, did someone record that? Did he say that on tape? What the hell is wrong with him? What the hell is wrong with him?
Wrong with him is he is arrogant because he knows that his party is in a strong position and there is now very little chance that they're going to lose the next election. And so why fuck around pretending not to be ideological? They can pretend, like just like last time, they pretended that winning the election actually gave them a mandate to do everything that they ever mentioned while campaigning. If it had been like a robustly fought and close fought election where it was actually plausible to think that people were voting for them because of their policies, not just because they like John Key, then it would actually be true that they maybe
had like a mandate. Blue.
But I don't believe that most people actually voted for them because of their position on asset sales. I don't believe that winning the election necessarily did give them that mandate. Technically speaking.
No.
Technically speaking, they said.
I think we've had that discussion.
Yeah. So yeah, Nick Smith, what a chap, eh?
Quite the chap.
He's been known to make some surprisingly good and unexpectedly good decisions, that guy, but also maybe not the best judgment all the time. So fish and game, part of their job, you know, their remit.
Mandate?
their mandate, remit, their
charter
is to advocate for clean waterways in New Zealand because they are about freshwater fishing.
Well, that's fine as long as they don't advocate for clean waterways.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's pretty much what it sounds like Nick Smith said.
Well, I mean, they can advocate for clean waterways as long as they don't criticize the policies that are making them not clean.
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious, isn't it? I mean, it's so stupid. Surely everyone can see through it. Some people have a dog in the fight. You know, there are people who make money off making waterways dirty. And you can understand why they want to pretend that they're not a problem. And this is farmers mainly. It's agriculture. You know, it's industrial use along waterways and it's farming along waterways. They have a personal vested interest in pretending that the balance should be in their favor and that we shouldn't be so precious about having clean rivers that are safe to swim in or, you know, God forbid, actually drinkable water. But just because they have an interest in that doesn't mean we actually should really listen to them because we have an interest in having a wonderful country, you know, that's clean and actually lives up to that claim that we've been making about it for so long, clean, green New Zealand, 100% pure New Zealand.
I meant to look up the other day because it's some woeful percentage of New Zealand rivers considered swimmable or I'm not sure what the wording is.
Yeah.
I wanted to compare that to something like the USA, which must be more because it just has these stupidly large areas that really have nothing.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Don't know where the information lies. I'm sure it's there somewhere.
Unfortunately, I haven't prepared anything about that.
No, that's okay. I didn't need you to. It's just something that reminded me of something I was going to do and still won't. So what else is... What else is new? Anything interesting in your life? Any interesting developments in the last roughly four weeks?
Oh, well, I mean, for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about my wonderful son.
Yeah, Fox.
Every week.
Oh my God, you won't believe it! I've come up with the best. When he says his first word, I've already got my Facebook comment for your first word post.
All right,
I've already drafted it.
Okay.
You'll never guess what it is. It's so good though.
I can't wait.
I know.
I really can't wait.
Good. It's going to be amazing.
So now, obviously, the last few weeks we have been talking about the internet party leader being Laila Hare because it is such an extraordinarily bad fit for someone who is so profoundly out of touch and lacking an understanding with technology issues.
We've discussed the internet party at length and I've been through this.
But I want to do it again. Act as if we haven't already and do it again.
No, I know. But I'm just going to recap my general feelings on it. When it first happened, you know, sure, it's easy to be a little bit dubious about Kim.com, although I am...
It's extremely easy.
But I am willing to accept that he is a person who has a strong interest in the technology issues involved and, you know, has some reason to want to win favor within the technology community within the country. So I could believe that he could back something like this for the right reasons. So that is where I started. And what I hoped that the internet party would be was kind of apolitical, not taking a social policy stance. Rather than
not being left or right.
Not being left or right, just being pro-internet, pro-technology and... Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, if they got some seats in Parliament, they would be willing to partner with whomever to try and directly advocate for policy. Kind of like if Internet NZ was a political party. You know, that was what I wanted.
So that would necessarily mean free speech, copyright reform, and some kind of standards for access. Not being able to kick people off the internet, that kind of thing, right?
Things like that. Also, you know, to do with promoting investment in IT, you know, in IT
R&D stuff,
R&D, and in growing that as an industry within New Zealand, all that sort of stuff. Look, those positions.
Yeah.
Not, you know, didn't want to take a left right because I thought, you know, there is a large group of people who could be interested in a party that would advocate really just for those things and kind of not do a supplying confidence agreement for other things or maybe do but you know just kind of stay out of the other issues that that are distinctly left or right, and just really strongly focus on those things. And I thought that was, it's kind of what I hoped it would be. And then it became sort of a little bit less of that, and then quite a lot less of that. And then the Māori Party got involved, and it was definitely not that. Yeah. And then Laila Hare became the leader, and it was very clearly not that. And now I don't understand what the fuck it is.
So
I just don't understand.
I feel like you and I feel, well, I'm not going to speak for you at all. I feel like
do it.
I
save
should
me
be,
the trouble.
I feel like I should be all over the Internet Party. I feel like that should be my thing. You know, that
I was willing to be.
That I was excited to have exist, and I'd be supporting it, and I'd be going to meetings, and I'd probably be a member, and I would, you know, possibly trying to get my name down on the list somewhere I would never be, and it would just be, you know, pretty symbolic. You know, for instance, being somewhere like 4 or 5 on the list, you know, pretty much symbolic.
Yeah, basically.
but the reality is, I can't stand the Internet Party. I think the whole thing is absolutely corrupt. I think that the leadership is bizarre because Laila Hare is not an internet person.
No, not in, by any
she didn't
stretch
even
of the imagination.
Know who her home ISP was. She is absolutely out of touch with technology stuff. She is an experienced and possibly skilled left-wing politician. You know, she's been a politician for a very long time.
Absolutely.
But that is not the position for her.
No, and you know, it had that opportunity. You know, it didn't matter that the, you know, if the leader of the Internet Party wasn't an experienced politician, that didn't matter because the issue was not about the party. It was about the internet.
That's right. And aside from, and I don't actually mind the strategic deal with mana. It makes sense for both of them. I don't think that that's actually an issue. Everyone, it's up front. I don't think any kind of corruption of MMP because everyone knows what the deal is. They've been public about it, right?
Yeah, and then they've said we don't think we should be able to do this, but we can, so we will.
Yeah, and I don't think they should have said that because you should be able to do that as part of MMP. You should.
Well, they don't think that they should. They would like to see, you know, that's fine. They can say that.
It's dumb of them to say that. There are a lot of dumb things that have been said lately, and we can talk about Cunliffe in a minute. But the last thing, and the elephant in the room, no pun intended, is that Kim.com is an absolute creep. I can't stand him, and I want him to leave New Zealand. He is a terrible corrupting influence. He's a self-interested scumbag that's done this whole thing, I think, exclusively in an effort to try and prevent his almost inevitable extradition. And he has no interest, really, in politics in New Zealand. He had, like some of those first interviews after he announced it, he had absolutely no idea about some of the most basic aspects of the New Zealand political landscape. No fucking clue. This is tactical move to try and get his ass out of court, right? I want him I want him to leave New Zealand.
I don't think that's quite right, though, because, I mean, I don't think he is dumb enough to believe that any political party, regardless of how much he supported them, would visibly interfere in that process. And I know it's not interfering because technically once the court has made a recommendation, it becomes the minister's decision ultimately. But no political party in their right mind would, at the end of all the legal wrangling, say, nah, no matter how much money Kim.com's given them. That can't be his motivation because he can't be dumb enough to think that'll happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm entirely willing to believe there's ulterior motives in various ways, but it can't be that because that's just ridiculous.
So I think that you are ignoring the fact that he's tried this before, buying influence, and it has possibly worked, and it has almost worked for him before.
But so... So
why wouldn't he continue trying to do that, to buy influence?
But it's so overt. He must know that it can't work. Like,
I don't know that he's necessarily as smart as you think.
Yeah, but he's not stupid. Like, he must be able to, and he has people around him who are not stupid.
Except he has people around him who only say yes to him.
Yeah, well, maybe that's it. I don't know. It just seems crazy.
Well, our mate Jose said about, you know, the one time anyone, and I think it was only Jose, anyone said anything that even slightly disagreed with him, everyone kind of looked shocked.
Yes.
Right? Because people don't disagree with Kim.
Yeah, well, it's a strange situation.
He's the sugar daddy.
I thought it had on when just the name, the internet party, and where that looked like it could go. I thought it was great, and where it's gone, I'm just not even remotely interested anymore. I downloaded the app and then uninstalled it.
It is absolutely inconceivable to me that they could even change into a different shaped beast where I would even be interested. Like, they are so, in my opinion, they are so profoundly broken and far away from where I think that something called the Internet Party should be, that I don't think they could ever actually recover that and fix it.
But, yeah, they've broken it.
But Mike Williams, former Labour Party president,
yep,
and political commentator, I don't know if he just had reports from some of the Internet Party meetings or if he had actually been to one, but apparently they are absolutely packed out and they're very young people, like probably first-time voters, majority. And so that actually could make something really interesting happen. Because
I'm willing to wait and see, but I mean, you know, if they get seats, I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. But at the same time, we can't really claim. I was going to say, I don't think if they do, it'll be on what people expected it was. You know, it's not on the promise that was. But at the same time, again, they've been. You can't say they haven't been open about what they're doing. So, you know,
yeah,
so be it.
So
it's not what I'd hoped it would be.
There's no certainty that Hone Hardawera is going to win his electorate. And if he doesn't, then none of them are in because they're not going to make it to 5%. But it would be very interesting if they did have, you know, 2 or 3% because, you know, that I think, is that 4 MPs?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe 5 MPs? No, 4 MPs.
That many.
And I think those would be... Three of those would be people who would be elected by people who have not been polled. You know, if they are the young people that it's reported that they are, those are not people who do surveys about who.
No, they don't tend to end up, even if, you know, like this is the argument, oh, people don't own landline phones, as they might, but again, they also might live in flats or with their parents and therefore not be receiving the phone calls.
Yeah. And there is no planet on which the Internet Party sides with a right bloc. There is no planet on which it goes with National. And it would be conceivable that they would at least support a left bloc in, you know, confidence and supply or, you know, whatever arrangement. I don't think it'll actually happen this election, though. And this is probably the only election that they're going to contest because I think Kim will be gone.
Well, while we're on politics, then what about the Conservative Party who didn't get a deal?
Colin Craig is absolutely fucked.
Now it looks like they're in a smouldering heap,
yeah.
But he carries on anyway.
Colin Craig.
He said he'd create a coalition with Labour if they would agree. Can you even imagine such a thing?
I support his position. I think that...
Oh, yeah, I'll go with whoever will help me achieve my goals.
And that's what everyone should say to that question.
Yeah.
And they should be probably straight, you know, if there are parties that they could never work with, like the Greens could never conceivably work with National just because their policies are so opposed. Labour probably could never work with ACT as it currently stands, but there are other structures of it. I mean, ACT was started by former fucking Labourites. Let's not forget.
True.
You know, Labour went crazy in the 80s and it could, and you know, in some ways it might be crazy now, but it could go crazy again. Or they could just, you know, move closer to one another in the middle. You know, there are all sorts of conceivable structures, layouts, arrangements, coalitions, you know, that could happen. You know, there's crazy rainbow coalitions that happen in, I guess, mainly Germany, right?
I don't know. Who cares about politics outside of New Zealand? Who even cares about politics inside of New Zealand?
Me.
Yeah, sometimes.
So Colin Craig is completely fucked because there is, I mean, he's going to get like probably 2%. Which,
but his billboards are hilarious, so that's good.
It baffles me that 2% of people would vote for such a joke of a party.
Have you seen the mailer that came out, though?
I have not.
It's that common sense bullshit, you know? It's the, well, why wouldn't we want prisoners to you know, suffer harsher consequences and blah, 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 blah. It's just, it's all that, you know, appeal to the common sense brigade. That it literally is like a party that's tailored for News Talk ZB callers.
Yeah. Is that a rhetorical question, or can I answer it?
Yeah, no, it's a rhetorical question. That's their question, which is rhetorical because it's answered.
Can I answer it anyway?
No.
All right.
There's four. I think there's like four main paragraphs in their mailer, and probably on their website as well. I can't be bothered looking. Although, if you want to look at their website, it's colincraig.co.nz. But in their mailer, like this,
that's colincraig.co.nz.
That's right. That's their official conservative website. Absolutely, definitely. There's like four main sections, and each one of them asks with a sort of ends with like a little. You know, statement, which is like, anything else would be madness, or it's just common sense. Like each one of them ends with something like that. It's just, you know, that's the party they are, and I can not even hesitate to imagine people I know who'd be like, yes.
Now, I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but it's something that Colin Craig wrote a few years ago on Twitter, and it was something like, it's just not intelligent to consider homosexuality normal.
It was almost exactly that quote, and it was 2 years ago. It was the 27th of July 2012, because a lot of people were retweeting it on its anniversary.
He's deleted it now, I think.
Has he finally?
Yeah.
Because it was being retweeted, the hell of it was being retweeted to hell and back.
Yeah.
It's been retweeted many times in the past. There's always little bursts of it when it comes out, because, you know, a lot of people don't look at the original tweet date and like, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah.
It's an amazing statement.
His politics are ridiculous. I think he's naive, and politicians are almost impossible to defame, according to the courts. So these politicians and wannabe politicians who are throwing around legal threats really are just being bullies.
Oh, here it is. Look, I'm just going to read one of the things from the Conservative Mailer because it's on their website. In Wellington, they've always got some harebrained scheme in mind to spend your money. Seems like only yesterday that the Honourable Member for Wainui Yamada thought it would be a good idea to reincarnate the Moa. Bless. The only other reason we need to pay so much tax is to fund the government's vote-buying program, which clearly is proving to be more expensive than first thought. This is where they try and turn as many hardworking Kiwi families as possible into beneficiaries. It doesn't get any more cynical.
So
Wait, I've got to carry on because I've got to get to the end.
All right.
Don't let anyone tell you we can't afford a tax cut. Especially if they're from Wellington. It's not their money. The government just needs to stop spending our wages and salaries like drunken sailors. Bit of a tip, it'd be cheaper, not to mention more transparent, to just tax us all less in the first place. So that's the plan. For example, if you were earning $20,000 per year, you'd pay no tax and be $2,520 better off. That's nearly $50 a week in your back pocket.
False.
After that, everyone pays a flat tax, real money in the hands of those who need it. And know what to do with it. Letting anyone else spend it is just lunacy.
False.
Absolutely
false. Because you would not, a person earning $20,000 a year it would definitely be struggling quite badly in 21st century New Zealand. And so the idea that they'd be a couple of $1,000s better off by paying no tax is absolutely false, because there are so many social programs that would evaporate that help those people currently.
There's always
much worse off.
Well, there's arguments that people who are earning like it's under about $50,000, I think, actually end up making money.
Yeah.
Here we go. So I'm not going to read them all, but I'll just read the last little bit. So I'll read the first sentence and the last sentence of these various things. Call us crazy, but the way we see it, a politician's job is to follow the instructions the voters give him. Blah, 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 blah. Anything else is just crazy talk. I already read the $20,000 tax-free thing. Referendums will be binding. At the heart of the democratic system is the principle that citizens initiate a referendum. That's when a single issue is thought to be so important, all voters are asked to make their opinion heard. What else are they looking to ignore? To think they won't is madness.
Yeah.
And I'll just read the last one of this one. Blah, blah, blah. This is about one law to rule us all. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing loony about that. That's it.
Yeah.
So there's four of them, and they each end with one of those. Nothing loony about that. To think they won't is madness. Letting anyone else spend it for you is just lunacy. And... anything else is just crazy talk.
So yes. I think this is actually quite smart, because, you know, there is a perception that Colin Craig might not be quite all there. Just from you know, how naive his politics are, the way he presents himself in his videos, he doesn't seem entirely normal. And so the way that they've, the copy that they've written for their campaign material, embracing that, it actually expresses a sense of humor that I didn't expect. And I think that it is quite a smart move.
It's quite good. They've basically got, they've only got 4 points that they're campaigning on. Tougher penalties for criminals, your first $20,000 tax, their flat tax thing, referendums being binding, and one rule for all, which is doing away with, you know, anything that helps the Maori.
The Maori. So
I just want to reiterate, I was deliberately mispronouncing that.
I know. Everyone knows.
No hate mail, please.
I know. If we don't get any mail of any kind, hate mail or love mail, we get no mail.
Well, I'd be happy with hate mail in that case then. Please.
We only get mail when we have giveaways. And
well, actually, another thing on the Conservative Party.
Last week's MacBook Air, I don't think we're going to have a giveaway for a little while.
Another thing on the, oh yeah, that MacBook Air, man, I can't believe how many entries we've got for that. It was like 25,000. Jesus. Anyway.
This machine with that skin, man.
Hmm. So what was I going to say? Oh, the other thing that happened with the Conservative Party recently is they tried to change their official logo to be included on the ballot papers.
And it looked like a sign that said tick here.
Their new logo was a little circle with a little arrow off the bottom. It's kind of like a speech bubble, but a circular speech bubble with kind of like an arrow that points to the lower right. And it said vote.
Yeah.
It was basically in instructions. Like, yeah, that got after a number of people made complaints, including myself. That got shit canned.
That was hilarious.
Just a couple of days ago. But that's still their logo on their billboards and on their website. But I don't know what their actual ballot paper logo ends up looking like.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Fucking douchebags. But yeah, they're going for that. I got one of those through my letterbox. I don't know how widely they were spread, but it looks like they might have gone everywhere.
Yeah,
pretty much. Well, certainly maybe into every, you know, upper income area. Because, yeah, I mean, that common sense, that simple common sense stuff. Like if you look at what the right wing does in America, it's all about that.
Yeah,
it's all about that really overly simplistic. You know, breaking down complex issues into really simple things that just make common sense that are just then completely bullshit.
Yeah, when a politician talks about common sense, most of the time what they're saying is something that is actually false.
Yes.
And they're saying, you shouldn't do any research on this. You should just go with your... Well, it's the Stephen Colbert truthiness, right?
Truthiness,
things,
yes.
Things that sound right. True without necessarily being true.
Yeah. And it's so simple. It makes so much sense. Like, it's such an easy way to do it, and it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
But, and it works. Shit, it works because, you know, like, and it's the same thing with, like, you know, anti-vaccination stuff and various conspiracy theories. You know, it's all the same. It's all like, look, that's just... Clearly, it's obviously this. It's so simple. You know, all of that stuff. Like, you don't want people injecting chemicals into you, do you?
I am a little bit nervous about vaccinating my boy because that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And, I mean, obviously I'm going to do it because, I mean, obviously. But, you know, some kids do have a reaction to the vaccinations. I don't especially want that to happen to him.
To be fair, quite a lot of children have a reaction.
Yeah.
I think it's something like 40% have a reaction, which is usually just localized, like a small localized hives, basically, and maybe a slight elevation in temperature.
Yeah.
But that usually lasts less than a day. And I think just a minuscule percentage have anything other than that. So they always make you hang around. You have to hang around in the hospital in the doctor's office for half an hour after the vaccination to see if anything happens.
Well, I mean, obviously that happens with adults as well. I actually, I had a reaction with my last vaccination, which was tetanus and whooping cough.
I seriously, when I was going to the States, I seriously considered getting a vaccination for something. What the fuck was it?
Rabies, man. Rabies is the scariest thing.
No, it wasn't. It was... something else that was going around the States because people weren't being vaccinated was whooping cough.
Oh.
Because it's...
No, but you'll be back. You'll have a vaccination from your kid. That lasts 10 years, so you should still be covered.
I didn't get a vaccination for my
child. What?
I don't think I did.
Are you fucking kidding?
I don't remember. Maybe I did. No, I don't think I did. I don't think they suggested it. I have no idea.
Are you fucking kidding?
The theory was I didn't think I was anyway, and I have no idea now. Although now that you mentioned that, it sounds vaguely familiar, so maybe it did happen. Who can tell?
Well, not me. So let's talk about a couple of other stupid things that New Zealand politicians maybe did or didn't do or said or didn't say or apologised for or proposed. So New Zealand First have brought back this old ridiculous idea of taking GST off food.
At least they're saying food, full stop, not some small subgroup of food that is a little bit hard to define.
Yeah.
Although not if food is necessarily easy to define. A tube of vitamins food?
Yes.
Or are they medicine?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're not medicine. They are food.
All right. Well, then.
It's a nutritional supplement. It's not medicine.
Okay.
Because it essentially doesn't have any medical benefit. Most vitamins, unless you have a specific problem, most vitamins do essentially nothing.
That would be interesting to see if they count then.
So it's basically, chewable vitamin C is basically a lolly.
It's delicious. I love that.
It does nothing. It does nothing. It won't protect you from anything. It doesn't do anything. Unless you have a specific problem, and most of us don't.
So I don't know. I think we discussed this when it was Labor's dumb idea to take GST off some food.
It is so dumb.
We have a really functional tax system.
Our tax system in New Zealand is beautiful. Take it from me, as a lazy bastard who ran a business for 6 years, and GST, I did it every time without ever having a problem with it because it was so low friction to do it and do it right. The rules are extremely plain and straightforward. You don't need to go and do a fucking degree to understand New Zealand. Well, I mean, to be an accountant, obviously you do. But to understand the PAY fringe benefit stuff, bit of GST, how to pay for your drawings and stuff. In New Zealand, running a small business, you don't need to worry about tax. You know, you get an accountant to do your year-end stuff and you do all of the rest of it yourself using the IRD website. And it's really nice. And fucking around with that is ridiculous. This would cost $3 billion a year of tax take, apparently. And that would
plus added compliance costs to all number of people.
See, every now and then we hear about New Zealand businessmen complaining about the fucking compliance costs. Those people are talking out their asses.
They're complaining about the compliance costs for some other things, and then they'd complain more once the tax compliance was more difficult as well.
Compliance costs for construction, building, those are a pain in the ass. But those are also to protect our environment. I don't know that they always necessarily do that job in the cleanest way possible. But, you know, there are some compliance costs which are quite painful and maybe they should be resolved. You know, I think that people should be able to build low-risk structures without spending like $80,000 on permits. You know, that sounds like a complete waste of time to me. As long as they comply with what the rules and requirements and, you know, design requirements are, then I don't think you should need to pay all the money. But the tax system is clean and tidy, isn't it?
It's really fucking simple. You buy things, you pay 15% sales tax, that 15% sales tax is almost always included in the displayed price.
Yeah, almost always. Now, really early on in the piece, and sometimes if the expectation is that it's something is being sold to a business who will be able to get the tax back, things were listed as plus GST. But now it hardly ever happens. Even like computer stores who historically had a big problem with being a bit dishonest with their pricing, even most of them have sorted that out now.
Well, a lot of them will display the plus GST, you know, the plus GST price in the larger font and then the smaller font below it with the included GST. You know, at least it's there.
Yeah.
Like going through the States, it's fucking infuriating. You go into a shop and you're like, oh, okay, this thing's $1.99, so I'll just give them $2. Oh, wait, they didn't display tax, so now I have to pay $2.12. More than that's like $2.18. They're not displaying sales tax and prices is fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
And then it's even more ridiculous when sales tax, you know, I don't think the US has that problem in many places, but in Australia and some other places, sales tax varies depending on the products you're buying, which is, you know, just stupid.
Yeah.
Some places sales tax depends on who you're selling it to. It's just so much simpler. You know, GST covers everyone, and I don't think there's any benefit. Like, because there was when it was fruit and veggies as well, I was like, it's not going to make things cheaper. Things aren't going to get 15% cheaper when you take GST off them.
No.
they might get a little bit cheaper for a little while, but then they'll just go up to what they were because the prices aren't set on like some really strict, like, well, this was the wholesale cost plus my margin. It now is, you know, this, the bananas are now going to be $1.67 a kilo. It's like, no, they're $1.99 a kilo because that looks good on the price tag.
Yeah.
And they'll be $1.99 a kilo once you take GST off them.
I think that the week after it changed, they'd be $1.79.
Oh, yeah.
And then a month later, they'd be $1.89. And then a couple of months after that, they'd be $1.99 and it'd be back to where it was. And the retailer would be making more out of it.
Absolutely.
So in New Zealand, we actually do have a problem. Our market is a bit broken. We pay far too much for food and drink. We pay too much for beer and wine that we make ourselves. And, you know, the exported version, the same stuff that you buy in Auckland for like $12 a bottle sometimes, you can buy in other countries where we've, you know, our producers here have exported it to, plus the cost of bloody carrying it there, paying local excise taxes in, you know, those jurisdictions, and it still costs less.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh?
It is ridiculous. We get fucked all the time in New Zealand as consumers. We get fucked constantly. And I'm not talking about good fucked.
No, I mean, it's the thing. That's the thing about pricing. You know, prices will rise to the highest they can typically.
Yeah.
And if we're in an island country where most things have to be imported, then the things that are made locally can be priced at the same price as the imported things.
Yeah.
Or close to it.
Yeah. I think we're actually very mercenary in New Zealand. And I don't like it. I don't like that New Zealand consumers are prepared to pay the prices that are asked of us. And I don't like that some of the retailers and producers gouge New Zealanders. I'm quite disgusted by it.
Sorry, I'm just trying to open a photograph I took in a supermarket in LA.
Yeah.
I'm just looking. Here is a, what is that? It looks like a 1.25 litre bottle of Bacardi.
Yeah.
What do you reckon that goes for in a supermarket in LA?
Let's see. A 1.25 litre bottle of Bacardi. I don't even have to guess how much it costs here. I'm sure I can find it. All right. So from Liquorland, they aren't showing me price.
Okay,
I have to choose the store. So I'll choose
so annoying.
Auckland, and then I'll choose Albany, and that will do. Will that do? Hello, Liquorland.
Hello. Yep. Good. Yep.
Oh my God, this is really frustrating. I thought this would be quick. I'm sorry. I thought it would be quick. It's $37.99 on special at Liquorland.
Oh, that's a good deal. It's $11.50 in Walmart.
Motherfucker.
So then I was there. Like I was there just before I went to the airport. And then I went to the airport and, you know, I didn't look at duty-free in the States, but came back to New Zealand, you know, and duty-free in New Zealand is like $30.
Yeah.
Like I could just bought it at Walmart and brought it with me.
Yeah.
Except I would have to have it in my carry-on and then... No, I could have put it in my check luggage.
You couldn't put it in your carry-on.
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to get through security.
Yeah.
So I could put it in my check luggage though, just hope it didn't get broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's crazy, crazy talk. And everything is crazy cheap over there.
But so it's not just because it's imported Bacardi, because rum that's made in New Zealand is the same fucking price.
Well, because that's how much the imported stuff
costs.
Because
apparently the competition isn't like a thing that people are excited to do.
No. Well, and you know, when the disruptive things happen, it really, you know, people do sometimes get disruptive in their pricing and then it really messes shit up.
Yeah, they get bought.
Yeah.
They have to flip. They would be crazy not to flip because New Zealanders are a bit mercenary.
Yeah.
So
I'm just looking at other photos of prices that I took. Oh, here's one. This was, you could buy 4 1-dozen boxes of Coke bottles, I think.
No, you shouldn't do
cans.
No, don't do that.
Well, so anyway, 4 dozen cans of Coke.
Yeah.
$10.
That would make you fat.
Well, the Coke Zero was also included.
I think it would still make you fat. I don't think people should drink soft drinks of any kind.
No, the theory behind making you fat with Coke Zero is that it doesn't satisfy the sweet craving properly.
Yeah.
And then you end up eating other sweet things.
Now, I seem to recall from a
not necessarily Coke Zero, but artificially sweet thing.
There was a study about caffeinated beverages making your body more likely to pack on calories for something like 24 hours after consuming them. So I expect that would probably have a similar effect with tea and coffee. But people don't generally drink like some people drink 3 liters of Coke a day. And they lose their eyesight, actually with zero, I guess you wouldn't get the diabetes, but you would be getting a hell of a lot more caffeine than most people would get if they had, you know, 1 or 2 cups of coffee or, you know, 2 or 3 cups of tea a day.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think David Cunliffe has a lot of coffee?
Yes, heaps, shit tons.
To be able to work the long hours that he does.
18 hours a day.
Yeah, it'd have to be. So I want to talk just a little bit. I haven't exactly gathered all my thoughts on Cunliffe and all of the beat ups that there have been lately, but I want to talk about several things. The man apology. It seems like a lot of people took a great deal of delight in completely misunderstanding the man apology when he said that he was. I can't remember the exact wording. I am sorry. To be a man. Today, I'm sorry to be a man or something. He was talking to Rape Crisis or Women's Refuge or someone, right?
Yeah.
And he is right to say that because rape is actually a men's problem.
Well,
you know, no, it is.
No, not that. I'm going to say he was right to hold that opinion.
Yes.
But
I think he was right to say it as well.
Well, possibly. But clearly he, you know, he could very easily have predicted the way it would be spun. And for better, you know, you can know that and then choose to do the right thing anyway, or you can know that and think, well, maybe I don't have this battle today.
Okay, so here's the thing. I haven't gone and sought out, you know, a copy of his speech. I haven't watched, if there's like a Labour Party official video of the whole thing or anything. I only watched the selectively edited out bits that were broadcast on the New Zealand media. And I instantly and completely understood exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, of course.
So I think, you know, he apologized. He didn't realize he was going to be taken out of context like that. But I think that people don't want to understand what he said. They don't want to front up to the fact that men have a problem. And it's up to all of us to fix it. We are not all rapists, but we are all, to some degree, responsible for influencing our friends. And I think that there – now, I don't believe that you do rapes. No. I don't believe that I need to suggest you do fewer rapes. But there are people out there who probably do know that their friends do bad things with women. And it's actually up to them to talk to their friends about it. Like, just like if you have a friend who has a drinking problem, it might be worth saying, hey, man, perhaps you could slow down. Or have you thought about maybe not drinking tonight when we go out?
No, so I'm looking at some of the wording from his speech. And this is as they've quoted it in the Herald. I don't know if they've skipped parts, but he started his speech with an apology. He said, can I begin by saying I'm sorry? I don't often say it. I'm sorry for being a man right now because family and sexual violence perpetrated overwhelmingly by men against women and children. So the first message to the men out there is wake up, stand up, and man up and stop this bullshit.
Yes.
Now, what I like especially about that is that he didn't mince words. He says bullshit, you know? Yay, a politician says bullshit.
Yeah.
I think he could have said it. I think, you know, had he and his PR people thought about it a bit more, they probably could have sent the same message without saying the word "I'm sorry for this." The words "I'm sorry for being a man." And I think that was the message problem. He could have.
No, I think he was right.
Okay. Well, I think about it from a PR perspective.
I don't think we should push your foot around this. I think the New Zealand media got it wrong. I don't think it was Cunliffe that got it wrong.
I don't think they got it right. I think this is such a
serious issue, and there's been too much fucking around and sweeping it under the carpet and maybe pretending it's someone else's problem, and that has to end.
That's fine, but
there was the It's Not Okay campaign, right?
Yeah.
We don't pretend that child abuse is a children's problem. That's not something that children do. That's something that adults mainly men, do to children. And rape is a thing that men do to women. And
like
that need to fix it, and we need to be really straight with each other about it being completely unacceptable. And I don't think we should fuck around.
I think that could have absolutely been done without saying the words that I think predictably the opposition especially and bloggers and the media ultimately as well, because they know where the ratings are.
Yeah.
I think it could have been said without making the predictably obvious soundbite that would, you know, be able to be taken out of context in that way and used as an attack against him.
So, you know, tell you the first thing that I think was a mistake.
Looking at the speech, I think you could have easily seen what was going to happen.
Well, perhaps, but he decided to take a stand, and he was right. And that wasn't a mistake. What was a mistake was then apologizing for it. That was absolutely a mistake. The Labour Party should have stayed strong. They should have said, if you don't actually understand that speech, then you have a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a bad way to approach it.
Because instead he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the apology.
Yeah.
Right? And that was stupid. He never should have done that. And he also sort of apologized, sort of, for taking a weekend off with his kids. He didn't really, but he sort of did. The way that he even addressed the apparently Labour insider who apparently leaked it, and I think it wasn't a Labour insider at all. He shouldn't have addressed it in the way that he did. He should have said, if I love my kids, I needed to take this is the last weekend I'm going to be able to have with them for a couple of months, and of course I'm going to take it, and I would do it again. And yeah. I was in touch with my campaign team the whole time, and other people were running different parts of the campaign all around the country for that weekend as well.
What I don't understand about Labour is how, if I'm not mistaken, now as we get, 2 months away from the election, maybe even closer?
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
6-7 weeks. How they can be losing ground in the poll. I just don't get that.
I think part of it is just that the media now like beating up on Cunliffe. And even though I don't think he's really changed, he looks bad, right? Now has started to feel, because he's on what feels like a losing team, he feels kind of like a loser. And it's fun for them to beat on him. But he's a smart dude who's made a couple of very, I think, very minor mistakes up against the National Party, who have MPs making huge mistakes, probably breaking the law, actually certainly breaking the law left, right, and center, including their senior MPs. They're not just taking a weekend holiday with their kids at the same time, or very close to the same time, as John Key taking 10 days off, by the way, and no one had a fucking problem with that. But they've got their Minister of fucking Transport sneaking around security gates in an airport. Are you fucking kidding me? That is nuts, right? You've got the Minister of the Environment, Dr. Nick Smith, saying to an organization who their remit is clean water, that they shouldn't be advocating for clean water. He's meant to be the Minister for the Environment, right? He says that this is a blue-green government, right? Not green, Green Party. Not,
I thought it was green-blue.
No, blue-green.
Blue-green?
It's bullshit. This is the least ecologically friendly government we've had in possibly fucking decades. And they seem to get a free ride. And on the other side, you've got Labour making, you know, silly little mistakes.
So here's the thing, right? I don't think...
Beaten up for it.
People blame the media, right? A lot of them. And I think people assume that the media, I should put quotes around that.
Right. So maybe the right have really effective PR, and the
media, I think that's it, because
posting their press releases, and the right wing are writing better ones.
I think that really is it. I think the right is just so much better at managing the message.
Yeah.
I think the left.
Okay, but that's the media.
Sticking their foot in it. Well, not the left, actually, Labour, because the Greens do well.
A senior media in New Zealand, there's a fucking revolving door where they go and be spin doctors and make a whole buttload of money working for a political party and take a bit of time off being a really poor paid journalist.
I don't think that's. Well, there may be some truth in that, but I think if you look at the politics, at the personal politics of most journalists, my understanding is that most surveys find that they are typically left-leaning.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
You know, so I don't think that they are, and I don't think editorial control from ownership is as strong as people might think it is. I just think that the Labour Party make it too easy, and the National Party are really good at managing the messages, something like that. I'm not sure what the specifics are, but there's something going on there that you know, Labour is terribly bad at killing a story, and in fact what they tend to do instead is add just more and more bullet points on top of bullet points.
Yeah, and they over-explain and they take things too seriously that should be laughed off, and that's one lesson that they should have learned from Key.
Yeah, because that's all he does is laugh things off. And he's so very good at it somehow.
There are things you should take seriously that Key doesn't take seriously. And then there are things that should be shrugged off because they're rubbish. And Key shrugs those off and Labour doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating to watch, because while I typically probably would vote for Green over Labour, I've certainly voted for Labour in the past. And it's frustrating to watch a party that I basically support just failing to be good at being a political party.
Yeah.
In an election. You know, they've not been a very good political party as an opposition, and they've been pretty rubbish leading up to the election as well, and it's disappointing.
Yeah. They haven't gotten as far down as National got.
Have they not?
That's cold comfort, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, everyone who listens to this, unless you're a new listener, everyone who listens to this show knows that I am obviously left-leaning. But I am not a Labour Party member. I am not any political party member.
Oh, I am now. I joined a political party.
Greens?
No.
Oh, you didn't join Internet Party?
No.
Oh, of Civilian?
Yes.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, okay.
I would not be
a member of a joke party.
Oh, I've decided I will be. No, that's the only party I will be a member of.
You realise that... Okay, well, that's lucky that you've taken that position, because you literally could not be a member of any other political party in New Zealand while being a member of the Civilian political party.
I understand that.
Okay, all right. As long as you don't vote for them.
I don't think that's likely.
Okay, good. Because that really would be a wasted vote.
No, but I'll continue to retweet their amusingness or whatever the other things I can do as a member are.
It's good that you do, because frankly, I think their amusingness is, considering it's all one guy still, right?
I believe so, yeah.
It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
So... On stuff.co.nz, there's a story about Cunliffe's weekend off with his kids. and there is a poll, and it says, should David Cunliffe take a family holiday 2 months out from the election? The options are yes or no. What do you think the result is?
I don't even know how to interpret what people might think on that fucking website anymore.
Yeah,
my suspicion is no. People, because everyone likes to be critical of other people's decisions anyway. Just
over 2,000 votes.
Yeah.
So 70% of people say that he should take a family holiday 2 months out from the election.
Really?
Yep.
Under
30% of people say no. People literally did not think this was a story.
And it was only a story because if National had come out and said he's off on a holiday, it wouldn't have worked because John Key was on a holiday. But it became a story because the pitch was that there were rumblings in the National Labour caucus about it. Within the Labour Party about it.
I think it was probably whale oil.
Oh, no.
I have no evidence for that whatsoever. This just feels like whale
oil. But, you know, people who are more connected to the goings-on of the Labour Party seem to believe it was someone in the Labour Party. You know, people who actually pay attention to the internal politics of Labour,
you know,
didn't have any problem believing it was someone in Labour.
It's a big party with a big membership. there are different groups, and the anyone but Cunliffe Brigade still exists there. So you know, it wouldn't be the most unlikely thing in the world.
If it was someone internal,
I'm still really suspicious.
But if it was someone internal, it's just you know, it's that thing. It's like
they shot themselves.
Yeah, how fucking stupid do you have to be to take a swipe at your own party during something like that? It's just fucking dumb.
There is the only way that they would change leaders before the election would be if their support plummeted, probably even like if it went down to like 20% or below.
And Helen Clark came back and said, I'll do it.
No. That's not going to happen, I'm very sorry to say. Oh, that would be wow, wouldn't that be amazing?
She's like, fuck's sake, guys, come on.
No, but she's at the UN and she's possibly going to be the next head of the UN. So
she's on a better path.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, life is good for her right now. She even gets to meet luminaries like Lord.
Wow.
Wow, it must have been really exciting for her to meet a 17-year-old girl who thinks she knows things.
From Devonport,
who talks about how her suburb was really difficult to
get in. Don't be hating.
And she's never seen a diamond.
Don't, in the flesh.
What a fucking liar.
Just you're ridiculous. Stop it.
Ridiculous. And her beats are shit.
Oh, stop it.
The music is shit. Every song sounds the same.
You're chopping down and tall poppies,
I'm
Morgan.
So
stop it.
Old now, Dylan.
You are. You have children. You can't like anything anymore.
That's correct.
Or you have a child. Sorry.
That's correct.
Hey, let's talk about something that's not politics because I'm bored of that now.
Okay.
Unless there's any other really important
David
points.
David Cunliffe has said that he won't rule out working with internet/mana. Or is it mana/internet? What are they called?
Internet mana is what they're called. At the moment.
He won't rule that out. Of course he won't rule that out.
No.
They make sense together.
Frankly, it would be ridiculous if David Cunliffe would rule out working with just about anyone who was interested.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
It would be kind of nice to be able to look at the entire list of political spectrum and take everyone that wasn't national and put them on one side and just see if it were possible to make another government. I'm not convinced that it is.
An alternative health therapist has been censured after attempting to heal a girl's aura without her consent. The 16-year-old went to the massage therapist seeking relief for migraines, muscle pain, and period problems,
okay,
which culminated in her being dunked in a river for auric healing.
Oh, okay. I was just imagining that she was like walking behind her on the street, surrounding her in white light, but that's a little bit different because I was like, well, if you know, someone's going to heal your imaginary problem imaginarily, I don't see that that's a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, dunking them in the river for auric problems.
The girl attended her first massage with her mother and aunt chaperoning, and she says she felt better afterwards. She went to another appointment several weeks later, and this time she got Bowen therapy,
a type of
gentle manipulation technique used to realign the body, which sounds like bullshit. This time the girl was accompanied only by her aunt and said the session felt rushed and, quote, really, really weird. Well, lady, it's going to get stranger, isn't it? The therapist was concerned about the girl's lack of progress and believed her pain did not have a physical cause because naturally realigning her body should have fixed whatever was wrong with her. Probably, you know, it could have been. I mean, there's a lot of very complicated plumbing going on in girls' bodies, right? Teenage girls, all sorts of hormones that have just started, you know, surging out for the first time. It's a whole lot of complicated shit that can lead to crippling pain that actual doctors can help with.
Your microphone's clipping a bit, just be the dubs.
So can you hear me all right now?
Yeah, I think so. So what else then, after all of this?
Well, I was talking about the mangolin being eaten out of existence. I want to try one before they're all gone.
Okay.
It would probably be smarter to farm them and breed up decent numbers, and then we could start eating them again. Because, I mean, if they're, like, super delicious, I'm keen. I'm keen as.
What are they called?
Pangolin, aka scaly anteater.
Scaly anteater. Oh, yeah.
Although its nose doesn't look quite as long as, you know, a more ordinary anteater.
That is not... Like, looking at a picture of it now, that's not the sort of thing we typically eat. We don't eat a lot of things that look like that.
Okay, but, and they look amazing, don't they? They look like,
They look neat. I want one as a pet.
They look like, gotta catch them all, gotta catch Pokemon. It looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it's a Pokemon.
Look up coconut crab.
Oh, no, I've eaten those. They're delicious.
So good.
Terrifying.
So good.
So when I was on an uninhabited island in Fiji for 2 weeks...
Mm-hmm.
Those things were fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Do not like.
They are so delicious, and they might not be eatable at the moment because I think that they became quite threatened.
Oh, right. Well, they were bloody everywhere we were. And you'd see them like walking across the little tracks, little sandy tracks.
Yeah.
And then you'd see the little footprints, and then the next morning you'd wake up and there'd be these huge footprints where obviously a much, much larger coconut crab had crossed the track, and you're like, well, fuck that, don't want to meet him.
Possibly with a blood trail dragging out behind it, because according to the Google summary of coconut crabs, they will eat kittens.
Well, there were no kittens where we were, so that wasn't an issue. Didn't want to meet them, though. They looked like they were scary and bitey.
It's probably quite internet-friendly, then, to eat them, because the internet only likes kittens, I think. Probably doesn't like coconut crabs, so it might be in favour of coconut crab consumption.
Oh, I have an Urban Dictionary word of the week. Would you like it?
Urban Dictionary! I would like it a great deal.
The word is porb.
Porb.
Yep, P-O-R-B, porb.
Porb.
Yep.
P-O-R-B, porb.
Porb.
Porb. So I think that this is something dirty. And look, last week's word of the week, I don't even want to talk about it again because it was so disgusting. It was worse than wolf bag. So I'm afraid that you might have gone.
This is, I swear to God, this is not as bad as last week's and less bad even than wolf bag.
Okay.
So have a go. Porb.
Porb. I need to write it down. I swear to God, I'm opening Notepad. I'm not doing a search.
Okay.
Porb. Porb. I think that this is something to do with, you know what? I have absolutely no idea. Porb. You've beaten me.
I'm going to straight up read the verbatim.
Is it a huge amount of roasted, crackling pork, like fatty and delicious? It's like burnt ends. It's been slow roasted, whole beast. And then they get like they do the pulled pork. They like cut off the skin, and that's all like they put that under a mandolin or something. They gather up all of the juicy pulled flesh with sauce, and they wrap that up with the crackling, and they tie a brown string around it, and they make a great big sphere of pork, and they serve that to you in the middle of the table, and it's an orb of pork. It's a porb.
That would be amazing. Can you please work on that? Next time I come around for dinner, if that ever happens, I don't know if I've ever come around for dinner. Now that you have children, you can entertain. So you can do that. You can make that a dinner party option.
Just tell me I'm right.
You're not right. You're wrong.
Oh, God damn it. I was sure.
You're all wrong. It is. I'm going to read verbatim the description, the definition here on Urban Dictionary. You meant to type porn on Google, but you made a typo and typed porb instead. Then you saw the Urban Dictionary page, which made you curious, so you clicked it. Now you're reading this.
Huh. It's very meta.
It is very meta. There's another definition. Sorry, I'll read the other definition. Porb. What I typed after seeing a screenshot from Urban Dictionary on a forum just to see if Googling porb really does take you straight here. It does.
The usage. I misspelt porn as porb and delayed my masturbation by whole seconds.
Yep, whole seconds. So there you go. I did just scroll through the other definitions. Orb of pork does not seem to show up.
Bugger.
Yeah, sorry about that. But orb of pork, that's a thing. You need to pursue that. I mean, and then you could make, you know, if it gets really good, you could open a restaurant that specializes in it. It could be called Porb. And that seems like a good idea. Of course, you'd have trouble getting high Google rankings.
It's just occurred to me that our surnames are kind of similar now.
Avery and Reeve.
Yeah. That sounds like a comedy duo.
Avery and Reeve. Yeah, not bad. Melanie's surname is Bailey and mine is Reeve. We actually have the same surname. We are both officers of the court.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Gaza?
No, because it's just too depressing and it just goes on and on and on. And no. No, not really. It's horrible. And it should fucking stop. And I'm not sure why it hasn't and if it ever will. I am hopeful. This is all I'm going to offer. I'm hopeful that the way social media has changed the way we communicate and get information that it will, and it has, changed perceptions of Israel's actions internationally in a way that they hadn't been seen previously in these types of events.
Okay, so let's just that's very well said. Let's just stipulate that we are aware of Gaza. And we are not going to go into it any further this week, but we might come back to it at a later date.
We can also stipulate that we don't think killing lots of people is good for anyone.
I would say under these circumstances, that's true. I am not necessarily...
You're not ruling out killing lots of people entirely?
No, I'm not ruling that out. I think sometimes war is necessary, and that people are always going to be killed in war. And
fair enough.
Innocent bystanders will sometimes be killed in war. But usually that means like 80% enemy soldiers and combatants, and like a much smaller percentage of innocent bystanders. And this in Gaza, it seems to be like 99% innocent bystanders, and Israel claim to be getting some of the, you know, the enemy combatants as well. And the maths do not work out.
It'd be better if, say, it was like 50 soldiers had died and like 3 civilians. Like, that would be, you know.
Yeah, then you'd say, okay, well, that's really sad, and I hope that they make the families whole. And it's terrible that happened, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. Anyway, yep, horrible fucking shitty Middle East thing that's never really stopped but is flared up dramatically.
I will say that Vice continue to be they continue to provide really good coverage of Gaza as well as Ukraine. And various other hotspots around the world. There seems to be a bunch of them right now.
You know who else has been doing really good journalism, and you'd just be like, what the fuck?
You know what? I do. It's BuzzFeed.
Yes, it is. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Top 10 great things that are happening. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently that's what BuzzFeed has always been intended to do. It's just taken a while to get there.
Israel did an artillery bombardment of Gaza. You won't believe what happened next.
Yes. Look at these corpses. You'll never believe how they got there. Anyway.
Probably. So I've gone to my fourth to last tab, and this is one I probably should have spoken about before when we were talking about Cunliffe and the new, you know, men's problem with rape.
But we've been going on forever. Okay, carry on.
Not forever.
Forever.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is where the actual...
We started this call 3 days ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not forever.
Oh, no, you're right.
You've lost track, man. You've changed, Dylan.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, it had to be at least 2 weeks before it was forever.
Yeah.
Figures from the United Nations show New Zealand's rate of sexual violence is one of the highest in the developed world, with the majority of offences committed by men. This is something that we already knew. Campaigners say Kiwi males have the power to change that and be part of the solution instead of the problem. Kiwi males are the only ones who have the power to change that because, I mean, listen, let's be really clear about this. Sometimes men are assaulted. Usually when men are assaulted, it's by other men. Sometimes men are assaulted by women. But almost all the time, men are the assaulters. So let's be really clear about that. And women are those who are, I won't say victim, they are the target. I understand that there are people out there who probably, you know, they may have heard me say before that men treat women badly. Men treat everyone badly because men have bad tendencies, but we can fix it. We don't live in caves. We are better than that. We have intellect. We can solve our problems.
I don't disagree.
Just make sure if one of your mates says, I'm talking to listeners, not to you, Dylan, really.
If one of your mates says
something stupid about a woman, call them up on it. Just like if one of your mates makes a stupid racist joke, say, excuse me, what do you mean by that? Do you think that's funny? You don't need to spoil the mood, but just don't let thuggery and violence and racism and misogyny, just don't let that be part of your ordinary life. Turn people who say that shit off. Tell them it's not all right. You really do have the power to do that. You really can tell the people around you how you expect them to behave. And most people actually will. Some people will push boundaries, and they'll push boundaries. And when they discover that they can say stupid shit around you, they will. And you can end that. We really do have that power. And what people say becomes what people do. You know, people program their brains with the words that they say. So anyway. The New York Times editorial board has called for marijuana legalization. And the big quote from them is repeal prohibition again. Sounds good to me.
That's nice. Good tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got nothing much to add to that.
I don't really want to see teenagers smoking weed, but I don't see any problem with adults smoking weed. And I think that this has to happen. And I think it's inevitable now.
Yeah, we don't want to see teenagers smoking tobacco either. And that's usually reasonably well managed.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. America with their 21 years old fucking liquor drinking. How dumb is that? Anyway, moving on.
I feel like this is inevitable. Now that it has happened in several states, you know, legalization, and now that those states appear to be doing extremely well because of it, because as everyone has said for years, tax and regulate, those states that have started tax, there's only a couple, I think Colorado and...
I think just Colorado.
Is it only Colorado?
I think Colorado's the only one that's gone like full legalization like that. I think other states have gone to a kind of decriminalized model, but not right. in the same way that Colorado's gone with having...
Like, so they up. Are making so much money from taxing weed that they are going to be fine, right? Where other states are closing parks and libraries and they can't replace light bulbs on streetlights.
Oh my God, that's it. Detroit needs to legalize weed. Holy shit.
That would solve
How obvious is that?
All of their problems.
Oh, brilliant.
And like they are majority black, right? I think Detroit.
Yeah.
And black people are disproportionately incarcerated for minor drugs offenses where white people would not be incarcerated for the exact same crime. So it would also help solve that problem too.
I think that's probably true of all offenses, but yeah.
All right. My last story.
Oh, thank goodness. Yep. Carry on.
All right. So let's end this talking about the Commonwealth Games.
No.
Fish and chips. Sorry,
the show is cancelled. Beep.